is available. It's so available. It's just like, it's just like that. It's that way. You know, the expectation that Jesus left us with is, they asked him, they said, Jesus, how should we pray? And Jesus said, okay, you want to know what to ask for, what to believe for? How, you know, what you're supposed to, you know, walk around expecting? This is your mantra. This is it, guys. Pay attention. Our Father, who art in heaven, you're so holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what he left them with. And, you know, it goes on. That's what he left them with. And so that tells us that, man, at any second, like, it's just, it's right there. So I just want to invite you right there where you're at to sing this song. Just let it come. Materialize heaven. Manifest heaven.
Let heaven come.
Just wreck the earth with it right now. Just
let heaven come.
Just fill this room. Heaven, fill this room.
Let heaven.
Heaven, fill our hearts. Heaven, fill our minds. Heaven.
Let heaven come.
We want heaven.
Let heaven come. Let heaven come. Let heaven come.
We want heaven. Seated if you want. I'm certain that there's too much symbolism among us today, and not enough practical heaven. When we speak of things of heaven, we tend to speak of them in symbolic realms. This is the altar. Right? Which we would then, so this is the place of sacrifice, and we would make this a symbolic place for us to approach. We're just, this is baptism. Water baptism. It's behind the stuff up there. Symbolic. We'd say it's symbolic. You know, Ephesians 6. If you died in the likeness of Christ's death, you go down and die, and then we say you come up in the likeness of his resurrection. Symbolic, right? But maybe it's time that we approach it more fundamental. Meaning we don't look at things with symbolism. We look at things with prophecy. Like when we come to the altar, because prophecy means that you're expecting power to happen. It's one thing to come to the altar symbolically and say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins." It's another thing to approach the altar with a spirit of prophecy. Because what you're saying when you come up here prophetically, you're saying, "I come up here, and the thing I'm laying down or the thing I'm requesting of God, I am placing an expectation of a release of heaven to that thing into my life." Meaning, when I walk away from here, I don't walk away from here thinking I just fulfilled like some religious tradition. I'm walking away from here expecting that any second, any moment, if it hadn't been fulfilled already, that it will come to pass in not so many seconds or minutes from now. Like, I'm looking for this to happen. I'm looking for a release of power to happen. You know, we're not just gathered tonight symbolically to be inspired. We're gathered tonight for a release of power. Aren't you? Okay, if you're not here for a release of power, get your mind right. Get your mind right. Because this is what it's about. We've gathered tonight to receive and to expect a release of power. Prophetically, we believe that our gathering is more than just symbolism. It's when two or three gather together in His name, it's not symbolic that He's here. It's He's here, right? It's not symbolic. We're not, "Oh, that's rich. Oh, He's here. Oh, it's so sweet and tender. It's so nice. That's such a sweet thought." No, He's here. Scripture says when one or two are here, He's here. And when He is present, when you never need to announce when He's present. You don't need to announce His presence. We know. Because stuff starts happening. Joy is released. Healing is released. Salvation, pow, it just shows up. I'm telling you, I've had the weirdest 24 hours. Listen, so I go to sleep last night. I preached in the, it was, you know, we drove all the way out there and it was a snowstorm and, you know, delivered the word and then, you know, it was okay. And then I get home and I can't sleep. And then when I go to sleep, I dream the craziest dream. And I wake up this morning and I'm thinking, man, that was so bizarre. And I explained it to Becca. I said, "Becca, I had this dream. Like, it's the only dream I had. Like, it's, you ever have one of those where, like, you dream, and you wake up, you dream, you wake up, you dream, and it's the only dream you have, and it's just a continual dream. I dreamt of this home. I tell you, I dreamt of this home. Multi-layers. And I can tell you what the smell of the home. I can tell you what it smelled like. I can tell you what it looked like. I couldn't tell you who was there, really, though. I knew that I had a crew with me and we were there to restore this home." It was crazy. I get a call. "Hey, I need you to come with me to this house." "Okay. I'll be there in the afternoon." So, I gotta drive by this house all the time, guys. It's right around the corner from me. I pull in the house. The dream. Now suddenly, I feel like I'm back in my dream. I feel like I never woke up. I feel like, what is going on? I don't know if I'm sleeping, dreaming. I'm not sure what's happening in this moment. I get out of the car. I walk in the house. I take two steps into the house. I'm like, this is my dream. This is the house. I was here already. I've already been in this place. I looked at the people that was there. I didn't even know I was there. Listen, I don't even know why I was there. Quite honestly, I was invited and with very little information as to why I was going. Just, "I need you to come. There's going to be a miracle." That's all the information I got, which I'm down for. right? Hey, miracles. Sign me up. I want some. Let's do it. I'm all about that life. Let's have that. I walk in this house. The smell that I smelled in my dream was in that house. I looked up. There was water damage right. I mean, as if God was saying, hey, pow, right in the face. This is it. I look up. There's water. In my dream, there was water dripping from everywhere in this house. Every floor, there's water dripping. So I sit down, I look at the people, I'm going, oh, you're in for it. And I'm not that guy, you know, I'm not this prophetic edge, like, just not, I mean, as of late, it seems to be just all, I think we're walking in the season of grace in that era. For sure, I mean, it's just like God said, here you go. It's a whole bunch, I got pockets full of it here, just take a bunch. He's just giving it out, you know. I walk in this house, I mean, the woman's got, what's the woman have? Multiple sclerosis? Multiple. MS. She's got MS. God. It's like, heck, I'm in the right place. Then I, you know, God's, you know, now I know I'm there. They go on. They tell me that some of their story. I'm still fuzzy about their story. But I just knew at that moment, here, let me tell you why I'm here. I dreamt about this place. I've already been here. God's so concerned. You know how much God loves you? That he would, you know, send me in front of you. I've already been here. God loves you that much. You know how much God loves you tonight, church? He thinks about you like that. He's like dreaming up ways to release words to you. Words of life. He's like, man, if I could just get her to go there, and then I can get that word to Judith. I can get it there. And then suddenly, so I start telling these people what, like, I go into detail. Like, I'm like, so this is what happened, and this is what happened, and this is what happened. The woman is looking at me like she, at one point, she stood up. She said, follow me in the other room. So we only walked into two rooms. I walked in the room. I sit down. And I start telling her all this stuff. And I'm astonished as she is. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is so bizarre. You know, but she says, come here. She walked in the other room. She said, look at that. Are those the stairs you saw? I said, yeah, but they didn't have that carpet on them. There's no carpet on them. I said, but look at the water stains up in the bedroom up there. No kidding, there was a water stain that ran, like it was, the paint was peeling off the ceiling. You know, God's just dreaming of ways to get you to your destiny, to get you out of bondage, to restore, you know, hope back into your life. Last week, or Sunday, Pastor was talking about the Father's love and getting to the Father's house. I should have shared it then. I'll share it now. I spend a little time in the wilderness in the fall. And about a week ago, there was a day where it was really, really warm. Unusually warm. Remember that day? Unusually warm. And I was going out that morning. I was going hunting. And I'm a woodsman, so I got dressed for the weather that morning. And I dressed up and walked out and I left the house. And I went into the woods, deep into the woods. And while I was back there, the weather changed. Sometimes the weather changes. Started to rain, and what I was wearing was so saturated, and then suddenly the temperature dropped. Did you feel it? The temperature dropped, and my body began to shiver. I wasn't prepared for it, and I heard I heard the Spirit say, you got to get to the house of God. More than that, there's a robe waiting for you at your dad's house. There's a robe of righteousness waiting for you at your father's house. And you got to get there. Because you came unprepared today. You weren't prepared for the change in the weather. Jesus said, you can perceive the weather, but you can't perceive what's happening in the Spirit. And I hear God saying that today, that we all want to go home to the Father. But we know we're not. We spent too much time away from the Father's house. Because when you get away from the Father's, and I'm not just talking about the church, I'm talking about His presence. I'm talking about your dad, your father, your Abba, the one who begot you, His presence. And when you spend too much time away from Him, and you think because we're here, we're near Him, but it's possible to be in His house, but not in His lap. It's possible. And I heard God say, they won't come in because they have the filthy garments on. But if they just come in, if they come in, I got a robe of righteousness prepared for them. And it's hard to receive from Dad when you won't come and sit on His lap because you feel as if you're just all dirty. You're defiled. You feel, you know, like you're so clean and I'm so dirty. He's saying, my beloved, I have a robe of righteousness. It's yours. You just need to come and put it on. So I was in the wilderness, and it's key when you're hunting. I'm a woodsman, and so just look past that. If you're a tree hugger, I respect you, but look past it for a moment. I mean that with all the respect in the world. Love tree huggers. So I'm in this spot in the wilderness. And the wind is critical when you're hunting. And I tell you, when I say I'm in the perfect spot, I mean that, like, the wind is in my face. I'm perfectly camouflaged in my surroundings. You could walk right up on me and not see me. Everything was perfect. The wind that day and for that few moments was so favorable to me that I really thought, oh, this is too easy. You ever walk through life and have those moments of complete favor? Like, I felt the favor of God in that moment. I felt such favor as the wind was blowing in my face. I had a wall of, you know, where nothing was coming behind me. Everything was coming. I was perfect. I knew where they were going to come. I was just waiting for the right behemoth. And then suddenly, as fast as it wanted, the wind blew over my back. Betrayed me. And all the favor I thought I had in that little window of time was gone. Now, it's funny, the things in life that provoke conversations that are deep and meaningful for me with God. This is one of those moments. And in this moment, I thought, what happened to my favor? I was so favored. Everything was going right. I had a good job, you know. I was tithing. I was doing everything, God. I was doing all the right things. I really felt like you loved me. I really felt like you loved me. What's up with this? Where did this contrary wind come from? You control the wind. Here we go. Now here's my conversation. Let me tell you, when you're a son, you know, God's not afraid of your deep penetrating questions. He's not. That deep lament. I mean, you read some of the Psalms. David has some stuff. He asked God some pretty tough questions. The prophets, they confronted God. You know, they were like, hey, Abraham. Remember Abraham arguing with God. You're going to destroy this place? You're going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's not right, God. What's going on? Moses, having it out with God. But those are the moments where you know, like, you and God, there's something there. It's not a lack of belief. It's a like, hey, I'm so much your son that I want the wind in my favor all the time. I expect favor. But then there are times when the wind blows contrary and suddenly all the favor you thought you had is gone. And you're like, God has left me. God does not love me. It's amazing how we can go from the heights of being a son to the depths of feeling betrayed and forsaken by God. You know, and you can understand why Jesus would cry out, why have you forsaken me? And I guess it's in those moments where you're like, I'm so thankful that he cried that, because there are times in life when the winds blow contrary that my soul cries out, why have you betrayed me? I said, God, you know, if I treated you the way you treat me sometimes, you would definitely doubt my love for you. It's up to you how you talk to him. Just telling you, I'm being transparent here. I said, if I said I loved you and I never raised my hands to worship you, wouldn't you doubt me? If I said I loved you and I never lifted a finger to serve you, wouldn't you doubt me? Then God, why? You have the power to move this wind in my favor. Move it. It's definitely spoiled children talking here. It definitely is. You know, I got a little girl. Talk about her a lot. She loves donuts. Oh, woman after my heart. Now, mommy doesn't like us to have donuts that much. I've given up on the donuts. Mommy said one day, you know, my wife said, listen, no donuts. I got to go somewhere. Don't get her any donuts. I'm right there. Precious is right there. Becca's telling her, now don't let her trick you into getting her donuts. No donuts. She looked at me. I'm like, all right. Okay. So I'm telling you, Becca leaves. Becca walks out the door, gets in the car. Precious is smart. She waits for the car to start. The garage door, fall. Daddy, let's go get some donuts. I said, Precious, mommy just told me that I can't buy you any donuts. You should expect donuts from daddy all the time. You have to expect good from God. No matter what, you have to be like Precious and go, hey, Dad, let's go get some donuts now. She's gone. I didn't get the donuts. I didn't do it. Hey, I didn't do it. I didn't get the donuts. I mean, it was me or the donuts, you know. It was me or Precious. So I'm sitting there and I'm having this conversation with God and I'm in despair. And from that one moment, I trace it back and I'm like, God, see, you know, that happened and this happened. What happened to all this favor? Like, I'm your son. Why turn the wind around. Come on, if you love me, do these things. He doesn't answer that. He basically says, look, you got two choices. You got two. It's up to you. You can speak to the wind. You can move the wind. You know, So I listened to the first one. I said, amen. All right. Hey, in Jesus' name, win, go. No kidding. I swear before all that's good, true, and holy, I'm in the middle of the woods. Listen, I'm in camouflage. I got a gun. And I'm talking to the wind. Go. Go. In Jesus' name, go that way. Jesus. If anybody was watching me, they're like, "This, what is wrong with this cat?" I hope nobody was like from far away, like, get a load of this guy. You know, they'd had me, you know, admitted to the hospital or something. But I'm talking to the wind. I mean, I got all Pentecostal, man. I did. I stood up on the end of the boat, in Jesus' name, but not that loud. Go. I don't know how many times you do that and it works. It didn't work for me this time. Rarely does it work for me. It worked like, I remember that one time we were having the baptisms at the lake. It worked that day. Remember, it was getting ready to rain, storm, and we were like, no, in Jesus' name, wind, you know, break up. And suddenly the sun started shining. Oh, I was like, amen. You know, you're speaking to the, you feel all anointed and favored. Power. But I ain't feeling much power, and the wind was just, you know, the wind just running over my back. I'm like, it didn't work, God. Then the second choice, he says, well, you know, your second choice is this, you can move. Move you. Move you. Find the wind that is favorable to you and go there. That's what I said. But it brings us to the question, what do we do in life when winds blow contrary to where we are? It's not a matter of, you know, if they're going to blow contrary to you. You say, man, I've got the wind blowing in my favor right now. Everything in life is going well. But we'll just hold on then, because if you're doing this faith walk right, then at some point, winds will grow. They're going to blow contrary. The wind's going to change on you. And what we have a tendency to do when the winds change is the same thing I did, is now to ascribe blame to God for the winds that are blowing contrary in my life. So it's funny how children point the finger at the father and say, this is you doing this to me. What a danger that is, and what a setup from the enemy that is. To take the evil and the bad and the ugly in the world and somehow try to say, my father did this. He gave me cancer. I've heard people tell me that. Well, God's trying to teach me a lesson. What? I've had people tell me that God kills children in order to, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not resurrection life. That's not a life. If Christ came, that doesn't even make any sense. But we wouldn't do it to that extreme, you know, because we're all people of faith. But we would when things begin to go wrong, you know, look at God and say, God, why are you doing this to me? As if God did it. As if God caused the wind to blow the wrong way in your life that day. As if God brought the calamity. As if God brought the famine. As if God brought the loss. As if God brought the sickness. As if any of these things belong to him. He's the Father of lights. He's the Father of love. He says to us, you, being an evil dad, know how to give your children good gifts. How much more me know how to give my children donuts when they ask? Right? How much more does God want to give us good? And so, you know, I look to the scriptures when things like that happen, and I find in Matthew 14, 22 through, 30-something, we'll read it. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. I'm so thankful that he went up to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, he was there all alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him on the sea, walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw, what did he see? He saw the wind. When Peter saw the wind, he became afraid. When Peter saw the wind, he began to ascribe the wind as the will. He looked at the wind and somewhere inside of him, he said, "Well, my days of walking on the water are finished. My moment of glory is past. I guess God is done." And he sinks. There's a lot going on in this story, and for the most part, we take this story and we focus on Peter walking on the water, which is awesome. But I think this story, it has a whole lot more going on here. Let me share it with you. Let's go back up to verse 22. Immediately, Jesus went in and made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Get a load of what's happening here. Jesus and the disciples just fed 4,000 people. Just a miraculous feeding of thousands by just a little fish and bread. And they fed thousands. And Jesus says, "Look, guys, hey, you get down, get in the boat, get across over there, and get to the other side." Didn't he say that? He said he sent the multitudes away. Go back, where are we at here? Immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and before them to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23, And he had sent the multitudes away. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. The wind was contrary. He said to them, "I want you to go to the other side." You know, if there's any doubt in your mind tonight of whether God's going to bring you through, you could rest assured. He said, you're going to the other side. He didn't say, hey guys, go get in that boat and do the best you can. Hey, just, you know, give it a good shot. The standard was, you got to get to the other side. You're going to make it. I just need you to get in the boat and get to the other side. Now here, the boat, you know, when you think about what this boat represents, it represents the church. I'll explain. It represents the church. The boat in this story represents the church. This vessel that's created to transport a message of hope, deliverance, ministry of rescue to those where? On the other side. Jesus looks at his fellows. He says, "Look, I got great confidence in you. I want you to go before me to the other side. You're going to go before me. I'm with you. I can see you. Because when I send you away, I'm going up on the mountain. You have the church down in the boat, in this vessel." The church is a vessel. We mustn't confuse the church for the event. Right? But so often we gather together and we think, this is it. This isn't it. This is the means of transportation to the other side where great deliverance happens. If you read the next chapter, you'll see that when they get to the other side, people are healed, miracles take place, but they had to get in the boat, they had to get in the means, this great vessel. You should know that this vessel is seaworthy. It could take a punch. You know, the church, she's strong. She's mighty. I mean, she's been taking punches now for a long time. Do you watch the news? You see the man who, when the boat flipped over and he was alive in the bowels of the boat for 3 days. The boat took a punch, but he was alive. There's like this, I feel like there's this storm warning, this wind storm warning, this severe thunderstorm warning that's on the screen of in the spirit. Remember back in the day when the little W would be up in the corner? Remember that? It's come a long way. There's a little W up there, and it's for all Christians to know. All things seem possible right now in this moment that storms are gonna flare up. The potential of a storm, you know, rising up is very likely. So here in the story we have the disciples in the vessel making their way to the other side. We have Jesus, he went up on the mountain. And Jesus went up on the mountain to do what? He went up to pray. Aren't you glad that he's still up on the mountain praying? I'm so happy that he lives every day to make intercession for us who are down in the boat, making our way across this troubled sea to the other side. He's still looking down on us. But what we have a tendency to do while we're down here in this boat is we tend to panic. Just like the fellas did. You know, they panicked a little bit. A lot. You know, could you see him? You know, Matthew? He probably had a pail of water just scooping the water out of the boat. Like, oh my gosh, we're going to die, you know? You know? And other fellows just rowing as hard as they can. Like, just terrified with panic. Some of them probably ran down into the bottom like that fellow on TV. Just like, I'm just hiding out down here. You know, this, I know that this boat can take a punch. So, you know what? Just get me when the storm's over. I stood on the shores of Galilee there. Let me tell you, it's not like Lake Erie even. When you stand on one side, you could see the other side. I'm like, this is where this happened? We just swim back home, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, maybe the boat flips over, just swim. Literally, it's probably a couple miles across. It's not that big. Here they are. The wind's not blowing contrary. But Jesus is up on the mountain. And look at the confidence he has in him. He says, listen, don't worry. Just get in the boat. Just go get in the boat. I've prepared this amazing vessel. She's amazing. I mean, if you work together in this boat, you can manage the fiercest of storms together. If you all just operate in your gifts and your abilities that I've given you. If you'll take care of the little thing that, you know, catches the wind. And you know, Matthew, if you'll just keep the water out of there. And if everybody will just row. And listen, it's going to take you to where you need to go. But if you just got to trust that, I'm there with you. I can see you. And I have so much confidence in your ability to make it through. Think about the confidence that Jesus has in you when he gives you an assignment. It's such a compliment to you. You know, when I got that phone call, I'm like, I am anointed for this assignment. You know, whether you're leading worship or you're praying for those at the altar, or, you know, you're visiting somebody that needs visited, or you're praying for the sick in the hospital, or you're ministering on the line at the hospital, Jesus is like, listen, I'm up there. I'm taking care of it for you. You just got to get in the middle of it. Listen, look where the boat is. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. That's where we belong, church. But for too many of us, we're afraid to get in the boat. We're down in the bottom of it thinking, the last time I tried to do this, a storm, and it freaked me out. I'm so afraid. I can't even swim. Good. If you can't swim, good. That makes you qualified. It qualifies you more than those who think they can swim. Because you know, at that moment, you're like, Jesus better show up, because I can't swim, and I got what they need. You ever been in the middle of it? Some of us are in the middle of it right now. Huh? Lisa Buchanan, Crystal Tackett, Al Larson, Julie Baker. These people in the middle of the fight of faith, right there, smack dab in the middle of it. And that could be a frightening place to be, right in the middle of the sea, where the winds blow contrary, and you're not sure whether you're going to make it or not. You ever been in the middle of it? Been times when I've been in the middle of it. I was in the middle of it earlier. I was in the middle of it. I've been times when I've, you know, been in Haiti, and I get myself in the, I remember one time we were driving down the road in Haiti, and the traffic stopped, and they were, and people were started flying back the other way. Now, I got a truck full of kids, young adults, and traffic's flying back the other way, and they're like, people, they're getting shot, and they're flying. I'm like, I'm in the middle of it. What do you do when you're in the middle of it? You, it's like, well, I can either turn around and go that way, or I can get to the other side. I mean, it's six or half a dozen. And turning back don't make no sense because I'm halfway there. That's prophetic. Turning back doesn't make any sense, church. You're halfway there. You can't, it's six or half a dozen. You turn around, that's, you can be a coward and turn around and go back to the shore. Or you can walk by faith and say, listen, I'm going to stumble around in the dark here maybe, but I believe that, listen, I'm in the middle of this thing for a reason, and I believe that even though I can't swim, I know the one who can, and he walks on the water, so I'm going to be good. Don't turn around. Just believe God for his goodness. Believe God for his goodness. I mean, that's half the deal, isn't it? That's half of it, just believing that he didn't make this storm. The enemy is resisting the message. He's resisting the supernatural on the inside of you. He knows. You think the enemy didn't know what was on the other side of that lake there on that day? If those boys get to the other side, people are healed. Miracles take place. We have to begin to believe. We have to put, you know where the, somebody do this. Want to know where the middle of it is? The ICU unit of every hospital in this region. You want to get in the middle of it? You say, what's the middle of it look like? That's what it looks like. I don't care what hospital you go to. You can go to Mercy. You can go to Amherst. You can go to Cleveland Clinic. You can go to any hospital you want. Find the ICU unit and go and sit where the family sits. You will find yourself in the middle of it, Jack. You will be in the middle of it. And then begin to believe God for the supernatural to take place. We laid hands on that woman and cursed multiple sclerosis. We should believe, we should find ourselves in the middle of the fight to decrease the cancer rates in this city. Till hospitals shut down. We should be believing God so much. We should be in the middle of the fight for the death rates to fall drastically. So much so that the news begin to report, like, we're not sure what happened to Lorraine, but there hasn't been a murder there in 10 years. We should begin to believe God that he can restore blocks and you know, like east side, south side, west side, that suddenly they're becoming restored and redeemed by the power and the glory of God so much that it's freaking everybody out. And they're like, who are these people? They've come in here and turned the world upside down. God is doing something. Just do this. Every day until the rates come down, let's pray that cancer and sickness and disease in this region, in this entire region, I find myself praying regionally more. Regionally. It's not like I'm saying, oh, Lorraine, or oh, you know, Elyria. I've got this heart now for the region. I pray for spiritual unity in this region, God. And you know what? It's strange, but I see now ministries beginning to walk in harmony together where they otherwise wouldn't have. Last night I had worship with a young girl that was from another ministry that I never even knew, like. But suddenly now, you begin to pray and look for these things, and suddenly they begin to materialize. So let's corporately begin to pray for healing in this region. I mean, healing in this region, like to where people are like, what is going on? That used to be the you know, Cleveland Clinic used to thrive over there. They're talking about building a bigger Cleveland Clinic in Avon. I'm like, no, I'm praying that the hospital empties out and they have to relocate that bad boy. Well, that means more jobs. No, God can bring money from, you know, He can fill closets with money. I'm not worried about the money. I just want to see people healed. I don't know what I was talking about there. Faith is leading us into the middle of it. Listen, Jesus is up. He's up. He's up in heaven. He's living forever to make intercession for you to carry heaven to the earth. He's watching. You're not alone. Come on, everybody say that. He's watching. I'm not alone. You're not alone. Come on. Get in the middle of it. But you know, we've got to learn to navigate through storms. We've got to learn to navigate this ship, Church on the North Coast, through storms. I'll never forget one time I was out playing on a boat. We decided we were going to play with a boat. Marsha Hershey blessed us with a boat. And so we decided, none of us knew anything about boats. But I thought, it can't be that hard. So I just, you know, fixed this boat and started. I don't know what you even do with a boat. You don't drive it. You captain it. You captain a boat. You pilot a boat. And so we're out playing all day. And we noticed that the sun starts to go down and the wind suddenly changes. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to try to get this thing back, you know, 10 miles the other way before this storm comes in. And now, like, we're going, and it got dark quick, faster than I thought. It always does, doesn't it? It gets darker faster than you thought. When it comes quick. When darkness comes, it always comes faster than we thought. And I'm going along, and I got Jesse, poor Jesse, with me. I'm piloting by grace and faith. And so I'm piloting along, and now the lightning is beginning to flash. But I was thanking God for the lightning, because there's these huge break walls that run out there, and I can't see them because you know, boats don't have lights on the front. They don't have headlamps. It is definitely faith. And so we're going along, and I'm like, God, give me some more lightning. Pow! And I could see the break wall, and I kept asking God, give me more flashlights. You know, I need some more light, more lightning, more lightning. Not knowing that if the lightning got too close, I'd die, but I was thinking, just give me more light. So I pull it around, and we make it into the harbor there just in time. And then suddenly the wind blows. I look over, there's a sailboat, and it's anchored up, and I'm just panicked. But I make it in, and we tie it all down, and we run to the truck, and there's a tornado. You know, a tornado. I ran up on the, and I'm thinking, God bless America. That was frightening. But you know, I was operating this vessel ignorantly, all by faith. I didn't know what I was doing. And we have got to become professional pilots of the vessel called the church. We need more that can navigate when the storm, because here's what happens. I get a phone call in the middle of the week, a week ago, and it's this young lady. Well, she's my age, and I hadn't talked to her in years. And she says, listen, I hear you know how to navigate through this kind of stuff. I hear that, you know, when somebody gets sick over there where you're at, over there at that church, you guys believe in healing. I hear you guys take care of people when they get sick and when they need prayer and when they feel alone. I hear you guys are professionals at this, basically, is what she's saying to me. Can you help me? So I start calling captains of the faith, you know. I start sending emails and say, hey, let's go navigate her. Let's go rescue her. Let's go become the National Guard for her. What's that? The Coast Guard. Let's go become the Coast Guard of faith and rescue her from her situation. Put her in our vessel and take her to the other side of victory. And suddenly now she sends me messages like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I'm feeling so much better. And you know, she's sending messages. You've seen it, huh, Geraldine? But they're calling us. They're calling me. They're calling us. They're not calling Mary. They're not calling Ashley. They're calling you. They think you have what it takes to navigate through contrary winds in their life when they start happening. And they're looking for the miraculous out of you. They're looking for it. They're looking for healing. So we've got to become more equipped. We've got to know how to discern the sky, as Jesus said. And then discern the spirit, as Jesus says. And bring what they need. But we can't panic. We can't panic. On that day, and I'm closing, on that day, when Jesus was walking on the water, there were 11 guys. There were 12 guys in the boat, but only one of them had a life preserver. Only one of them realized what was necessary. Everybody's in the boat. And we're all in this boat together, amen? We're all here. But it's not, you know, being in the boat doesn't guarantee that that we have the goods. There was one guy out of 12 who said, I understand what's happening here. I got it. I got two choices, he thought. I can speak to the wind. I can move the wind. Or God, maybe it's about me. You're trying to move me closer to you. I think that's what's happening. And Peter realized, if I don't get out of this boat, it's going to flip over. And we're at risk. We're going to take some casualties. So I got to get out of the boat. Because I know that it's not about religion. It's not about my attendance inside the boat. It's not just about me. Hey, it's not just about me. You know, when Jesus said, go get in the boat, me just getting in the boat. That wasn't enough. The test was this. When Jesus came by, do you identify when Jesus is near, do you identify your deep, deep need to get out of the boat? To get out of your security that says, this is what saves me. My attendance is what saves me. My attendance to the house of God. My reading 5 chapters every day. My service in the children's ministry. My service at the altar ministry. How good I am. None of those things bring the supernatural release that is needed in the middle of the storm. None of those things bring it. The only thing that brings it is moving from where we are to where He is. Closer. And Peter said, listen, I could stay here and drown with you guys. Or I could do what's necessary here. I have to move me. Because this is about me. It's not about you guys. It's not about you guys. This is about me. I have to find Jesus. I have to find Him. And because I realize if I find Him, man, that's what's gonna rescue us. That's what's gonna, I gotta go get Him though. I can't depend on that. I can't. My only dependence has to be Him. And I don't even care that the laws of physics say it's not possible for me to do it. I don't even care. I'll risk my life. I can't swim, but I'll risk my life. But I know that my life is found in Christ. If I don't get to Christ, we're all going to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. The boat's going to sink. No one's going to get delivered over there. I have to get to Jesus. We make this thing about us coming together, and we make it about the boat and not about Him. He says, you got to move. You hear Him saying that tonight to you? You have to move. So when winds blow contrary, you got two choices. You could speak to the wind. And maybe it's about the wind on that day. Maybe on that day it's about the wind. But most times, church, most times, it's not about the wind. It's about you. about me. And it's about moving to Him. I've got to move. I've got to change my proximity to an intimate place with Him. Because when I get intimate with Him, man, some crazy stuff starts happening. I start having dreams. I start laying hands on the sick and people are getting healed. But if I don't go to Him, none of that happens. And so tonight I want to invite you to stand to your feet and go to Him. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet. And I just want to invite you in these last few moments together to move yourself. Maybe not physically. Maybe you need to move physically, but move your heart towards Christ, towards where He is. Because there are people on the other side. Come on, just think of yourself. Think to yourself of some people who are on the other side waiting for the supernatural. They're waiting. I could read you off a list of them. They need healed. Every day I come across people who need healing in their body. They need healing. They need somebody to go grab a hold of Jesus. Grab Him. He's Him. Bring back. Take it with Him to the other side. Say, man, I've spent some time with Jesus. I've spent some time with the One who takes this disease and inflicts it across the room. I mean, He's so powerful. I've spent some time. I grabbed a hold of Him the other day. I grabbed a hold of Him. I walked on the water to Him the other day. You should have saw. It was amazing. I was walking on the water. I was doing stuff I never thought I'd do. And then when I got to Him, I was like, "Woo, man, you got to see this. You watch this. Cancer, go. Tumors, go. Heart disease, go. Bitterness, go. Fear, oh, be gone, fear. Be gone, fear. Be gone." Close your eyes right there in Jesus. Jesus. We touch You tonight. We walk to You tonight. We step outside of this vessel. We declare openly that You are the source. You are the source. It's not this boat that keeps us afloat. That's not it. My hope is not in this boat. My hope is in You, Jesus. This is just a means of getting us to where we're going. This is where we come to receive our duty. And some of us tonight, we need to get into the middle of it. Some of us need to get out of the bottom of the boat, and some of us need to begin to walk on the water. We walked on it before, but we've grown timid, and you need to walk on the water. You need to get out of the boat. Take us to places we've never imagined possible. Stretch our faith so much so that we're unrecognizable even a week from now. Challenge us in areas of our life where, God, make us holier. Challenge us to become purer. Challenge us, God, to love deeper. Challenge us, oh God, to walk in such forgiveness that it crushes the mouth and the words of the enemy. Pray for corporate unity, regional unity, regional healing. We declare that the anointing of Christ is so tangible. Come on tonight, lift your hands. We pray for every hand that's raised tonight that the anointing of Christ would be so tangible on their hands. That God, like I'm holding this ball tonight, it's so tangible that wherever they go, they release it. God, they just give it away. It's there. It's more real. It's more real. It's more real. It's not symbolic. It's It's prophetic. There is such an expectation when they lay hands on the sick, they watch them recover. It's instantaneous. Now. It's in the moment. It isn't a waiting around to hear back. It's now. It's instant, God. We pray for such an anointing that even right now there's oil on our hands that are beginning to materialize. There's a manifestation of glory that's coming tonight. It's touching. It's coming on your hands. And it's becoming so real to you. It's such an assurance to you that when you see those with cancer, you're like, I have the anointing of Christ so much on me that whatever I touch, it smears all over you. Pray for these manifestations to take place that confound our faith, that just mess us up and wreck us in our minds. We pray for it now. We thank you, Lord, that there's no sick among us tonight. Come on, if you feel like you have some kind of sickness tonight, I just want you to come forward. We want to pray for you. Any disability, any sickness, any symptoms tonight, if you're feeling it, just come forward. We want to lay hands on you. Curse it now. We command it to go. Sickness, go in Jesus' name. Sickness, go in Jesus' name. Come on, come on. Now just give me some people to pray for these. And then when we pray, we're not waiting around for it to happen. We expect it to happen instantly. We're placing a demand on the anointing of Christ that says, now. Now is the moment of salvation. Today is the day. This is the moment. We thank you, Lord, that the children's bread, the bread that falls from heaven, it contains the healing nutrients of Christ, that by your stripes we are healed. It is the children's bread to be healed. It is a promise that we receive today in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Thank you so much that it took more faith for us to be saved than it does for us to be healed. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that salvation includes healing in our body. We thank you for it tonight. We thank you, Lord, for those that are petrified with fear in this building tonight. That fear goes from your mind in Jesus' name. That fear goes from your mind in Jesus' name. We rebuke fear. Bind fear. That's not from your Father. Your Father loves you. Your Father wants to bless you. Your Father wants to abundantly bless you with donuts. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. The blessings of the Lord are rich and He adds no sorrow with it. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for these things. We bless you. We love you. God bless you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. We're going to receive the offering on the way out, guys, if you could just give. Thank you so much for giving here at Church on the North Coast. If you could, during the week, I don't want to disturb this, but during the week, if you think of it, we need to buy 50 gifts for our Joshua kids. We've got about 12 so far, so we need to catch up real fast. Our Joshua Kids Ministry is inner city ministry where kids that have no toys for Christmas, we try to give them toys. And so while you're out, a gift that's $10 to $25, something like that, for a girl or a boy, just bring it and dump it in the box out there, and we'll give those to the kids in your name. You can wrap it, and we'll bless them with it. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Thank you for giving. You can give on the way out. So thankful for your faithful giving here. God bless you.